Blog Talk Radio.
My laws, you got it.
Charismatic and all that. He just was. Even when he sung the national anthem, I mean, it was Marvin Gaye. You know, it was just unique. It was special.
Can you see
the
The man you're about to see and hear, should you be so foolish as to have just joined us, is Ray Charles.
Hello. All right. 3, 4. I got something, girl, in my bones. Make me want to shout hallelujah. And I want to sing along. Lift every voice and sing, till it in heaven. Ring with the harmony, oh, liberty. Let our rejoicing rise high. Burning the time, loud as the orgia.
Numbers. You're now listening to Jimmy Lee's Underground Radio Network. And so the first half hour of our show is brought to none other than our people in Mississippi with the Organa Gold Coffee Mix. Let's tune it in right now.
Got your black coffee at the Jazz Cafe. Got your mocha at the Jazz Cafe. Got your latte at the Jazz Cafe. At the Jazz Cafe. At the Jazz Cafe. Got your black coffee at the Jazz Cafe. Got your mocha at the Jazz Cafe. Got your latte at the Jazz Cafe. At the Jazz Cafe. At the Jazz Cafe. The Jazz Cafe is one of the main distributors of the Organa Gold Coffee. It gives natural energy delivered right to your doorstep. If you want to order your coffee today, contact Shauna at 601-918-2079 or go to 601jazzcafe.organogold.com. Got your black coffee at the Jazz Cafe. Got your mocha at the Jazz Cafe. Got your latte at the Jazz Cafe. At the Jazz Cafe. At the Jazz Cafe. Got your black coffee at the Jazz Cafe. Got your mocha at the Jazz Cafe. Got your latte at the Jazz Cafe. At the Jazz Cafe. At the Jazz Cafe.
Hey, everybody, what's going on? This is Jimmy Lee's Underground Radio Network. What's going on, Flint G? I'm glad y'all tuning in finally, checking me out. No hating allowed, no hating allowed, no hating allowed. But anyway, today's show, we're going to deal with the new pot laws here in Chicago. You know, there's a new study that shows that, of course, they're not ticketing African Americans. They only are still arresting them, and they're ticketing Caucasians. Got a hot new interview from Lupe Fiasco. He's going to talk about his new normal. We're going to be dealing with that. Check that out. Going to check in my girl Diane Sawyer. She did a little interview with the president today, and he's going, I guess, own up to his debate. You want to call it debacle or fiasco, speaking of Lupe, his debate fiasco, you know, we got that. What's up with the 666? I got something on Tim Tebow and the six-game Monday night football. Eddie's going to break that down. Let's go around the news, everybody. Pope praising Arabic for the first time. What y'all think about that? Is that the sign of the end times since Turkey is launching war on Syria? Everybody's tripping on Obama's unemployment numbers as if he cooked the books. I don't know why Jack Welch, head of GE, is like that. And GE is one of the big government sponsors, whether it's Bush or whether it's the Republicans or the Democrats. Teammates turn to Lance Armstrong. Ain't that about something? Everybody, all those people that rode with Lance Armstrong while he's riding high, turning their backs on you, boys. Talking about your homies, your friends. There's a lot going on. And what I'm going to do is talk about something else that I want to discuss. This is the new Supreme Court ruling that they have on, that they've done on the ruling on the affirmative action case in Texas. Now, for those who do not know that there's a case going on in Texas where a female wants to get the affirmative action laws overturned. And Texas, because she wants to be able to go there. She says they're outdated and they're unfair. We're going to be dealing with that. As a matter of fact, let's get into that now. And I think that's clip number 17. If you can pull that up, and then I want to run into, please play clip 17 for me. No, that's 15, sister. Clip 17.
Because of admission policies that favored qualified minorities. Dale Fisher was denied admission to the University of Texas, she says, because of admission policies that favored less qualified minorities. Her simple argument is to stop using skin color in college admissions.
I hope the court rules that a student's race and ethnicity should not be considered when applying to the University of Texas.
The UT entering class is among the most diverse anywhere, roughly 50% white and 50% minority. By law, the school has to admit the top 10% of every high school class, regardless of race. But UT also uses what's called holistic review, where race is separately considered with other factors, including leadership and family income. The university says that's legal under a 2003 ruling from Justice Sandra Day O'Connor. It allowed colleges to use race to find a critical mass of underrepresented minority students. But the court's conservative justices repeatedly ask, when does the use of race end? What's the logical end point? Chief Justice Roberts asked. When will I know you've reached a critical mass? Liberal Justice Sonia Sotomayor, defending affirmative action, asked, at what point does a university know it doesn't have to do anymore?
For the
The university's lawyer, Greg Garr, said UT doesn't have a number for achieving diversity. He said that is a judgment call.
Come up, and the university is looking foremost to whether or not it has an environment in which African Americans or Hispanic students don't feel like spokespersons for their races.
Abigail Fisher's lawyer, Bert Ryan, calls college diversity important, but not if it discriminates.
The absence of equal protection was a sin in this country for a long, long time. And we're simply trying to say those rights belong to everybody.
Several of the justices seem conflicted about that 2003 decision that allows the use of race to achieve college diversity. The author of that decision, Sandra Day O'Connor, was watching these arguments in the courtroom. Scott, either way, the future of affirmative action at hundreds of colleges and universities is now in play and riding on this decision.
Okay, America. What do you think about it? What do you think about it? Let's see. What do you think about the affirmative action laws? Do you think that they should be overturned? Are they doing their right justice? Let's, if you can, if you pull up, I think there's another one we got. I think I have another one on there. You can pull that one up. And see if we can, I think it's track number 15. If you try track 15, we can do it. Matter of fact, just go to, go to another commercial break, we can bring it back up.
Got your black coffee at the Jazz Cafe. Got your mocha at the Jazz Cafe. Got your latte at the Jazz Cafe. At the Jazz Cafe. At the Jazz Cafe. Got your black coffee at the Jazz Cafe. Got your mocha at the Jazz Cafe. Got your latte at the Jazz Cafe. At the Jazz Cafe. At the Jazz Cafe. The Jazz Cafe is one of the main distributors of the Organo Gold Coffee. It gives natural energy delivered right to your doorstep. If you want to order your coffee today, contact Shauna at 601-918-2079 or go to 601jazzcafe.organogold.com. Got your black coffee at the Jazz Cafe. Got your mocha at the Jazz Cafe. Got your latte at the Jazz Cafe. At the Jazz Cafe. At the Jazz Cafe. Got your black coffee at the Jazz Cafe. Got your mocha at the Jazz Cafe. Got your latte at the Jazz Cafe. At the Jazz Cafe. At the Jazz Cafe.
Hello?
Justice O'Connor was in the building. And so I don't know. We ran that way anyway. Let's go ahead take our break up and then come back with the second half. We're going to do the DuPont Law, a loopy fiasco interview, and a little bit on President Obama.
And now, the mellow sounds of Jimmy Irvin.
Never meant to make you cry. You were the only one I've ever loved in my life. And though it's hard for me to show it, I've got to let you know it. 'Cause darling, I love you more each day. But the word got in my way.
Can't do it no more. I can't sing no more sad songs. 1, 2, 3, hit me. Bop, bop, bop it out of bebop. Bop, bop, yeah, bass man. Come on up. 1, 2, 3, hit me. Sound good. Yeah, saxophone on the floor. 1, 2, 3, hit it.
Comes around for a man to be a man, take back his time. I gotta do something.
Partners in Community Building focuses on credit building, financial literacy, and home ownership for residents throughout Chicago and Illinois. All of our services are free. Call 312-328-0873 to get additional information on our homeownership counseling, rental assistance, Cook County foreclosure mediation, and small accessible repairs for seniors program. PCIB is a HUD-certified nonprofit counseling agency committed to addressing the housing needs of all people. Call 312-328-0873 to schedule an appointment or visit us at www.pcibchicago.org.
For true inspiration, check out singer, songwriter, and radio personality Sylvia Fedrick. Sylvia, your sister under God's construction, brings to you her best in Christian contemporary gospel tunes, and they are available for download at www.sangsyl.com. That's SANGSYL.com. Or you can visit her profile at Chicago Black Business Network. For bookings, call Sassy Michelle at 512-914-4221.
Want to learn the secrets of the wealthy? Do you think that the wealthy sell their gold and silver, or do they buy gold and silver? Learn to create wealth, collect wealth, and preserve wealth for you and future generations. Find out how you can acquire free silver every month. Visit goldandsilverplan.com. That's goldandsilverplan.com. What you don't know can keep you struggling financially. What you know can change your life. Be in the know. Visit goldandsilverplan.com today.
Hey, you want more money in your pocket, right? Savers are losers, unless you save like the rich and beat inflation. The secret? Save the right kind of money. Pure, solid, 24-karat gold or silver for as little as 20 bucks a week, direct from the mint. Don't spend money. Exchange bad money for good money. Start today at SaveMetalMoney.com. That's SaveMetalMoney.com. The chains of slavery in the modern world are not forged with links of iron, but with the bonds of limiting ideas and debt.
Be in business for yourself, but not by yourself. Team up with a company voted the 57th most promising by Forbes. With no money to collect from your customers, no credit checks, and no cost for you to join. Visit electricmoneyteam.com, 773-980-9288. That's electricmoneyteam.com, 773-980-9288.
Hi there, I'm the X-Man, Xavier Paul. I'm a national network voiceover talent. You've heard my voice represent hundreds of brands and businesses for the past 15 years. Well, now it's your turn. I understand how important it is to promote your business or event in the right way. That starts with quality radio spot production and the nation's top voiceover talent. You might wonder, how do I get started? What's the best approach? What voice talent do I use? And most importantly, can I do it affordably? That's why I created CoolVoiceRadio.com. I take you to the finish line, giving you everything you need to advertise effectively on the radio. I'll help you create your concept, write your spot, even choose your music and cast your voice talent and get it aired on the radio. Now that's cool. Email me today at info@coolvoiceradio.com or call 646-326-7800 because nothing beats the right sound.
Jimmy Lee Underground Radio, 347-838-9825. We're going to switch gears up. We're going to holler at my man, Lupe Fiasco. He's going to speak his mind about the new normal, you know. He's also on tour of his new latest release album, Food and Liquors 2, the Great American Rap Album Part 1. But he took some time out to talk to my man, Thomas Corner. Let me get a drop of this piece of this interview they're going to release. I'm going to let y'all check it out. But back on that affirmative action case, my deal is like this. Let it say black action, not affirmative action. Because if you look down at the numbers at University of Texas, 49% white, that was 15% Hispanic, was that 12% Asian, and 4% African-American. So when you say affirmative action, everybody looks at it as it's black people, but that's not the truth. So it's really other people involved in that. But I'm going to get back on that after I just run through the topics, and we probably have everything wrapped up by the second hour. Pretty soon, everybody will be going 3 hours, and you're going an extra day. Stay tuned. That's this month, everybody. That is this month. And I think if you can, then you can pull up that you can pull up that that interview on Lupe. Let me see. Yeah, let's get it. It's be on now. Let's get it now. It's great cooking now. Lupe, yeah, here you go. Lou Fiasco speaking his new normal. He stopped by my man Thomas Connor's place, and I was so fortunate to get the interview. This is Loopy Fiasco talking about, oh man, it's not queued up. I thought I had it queued up, everybody, but that's my bad. Well, it's Loopy Fiasco. He's talking about his new normal, about life in Chicago, life in Black America, life basically much how he sees it through his eyes. Now, you all, my listeners all remember Loopy Fiasco from being, having a little beef with Chief Keef here that he got out the game, because he ain't trying to be involved in that little shenanigan that he in. And so I just want to see if I can get that, get him to talk about what he's going, what he's talking about. He don't go into that so much, but he goes into life it is in Black America and how he sees things, grocery stores, music, and industry and all that. He's a little bit fiasco, everybody.
In Chicago, and basically how, you know, how some of this got embroiled in this particular symptom of it, and more importantly, what's going to happen from this point forward. Mm-hmm. First of all, you're here this weekend. You got some events going on. Mm-hmm. How much time do you spend in Chicago these days?
I spend a lot of my time. You know, when you look at the density of my schedule in comparison, you know,
yeah.
I'm between here in Los Angeles. But even with those two spots, kind of like a, you know, like I call them kind of just like a. Tokyo, Paris, so I'm just kind of nowhere. But I spend kind of a good chunk of time here on my free time.
How have you been touched by what's going on? How, if at all, have you been touched by the violence? You've got family that's experienced it, friends.
I'm distraught and destroyed by it. You know, it's heartbreaking. You know, to see us in this day and age, especially in this particular country, where there's so much to do, that the only thing that we can kind of find ourselves doing, and when I say us, I mean young black men, is to kill each other. You know, like, we can't go to the museum, you know, can't go to such and such, we can't go, you know, like, we can't just do other things. There's a myriad of other things that we can do as opposed to killing each other. And it's just, it's that sad in that sense. But it's visceral. I just had a lady come up to me this morning. She said, yeah, you know, my son, I always press into him some of the messages that I hear from your music, and I always press it into him. And, you know, because, you know, the kid that just died Saturday, yeah, that was my son's best friend, and he died in my son's arms. So it was this morning. Right? And I wasn't asking for that. You know, I wasn't flying to Chicago to expect that. You know, I didn't go out reaching for that. I didn't put that on Twitter. Hey, tell me your saddest story that happened to you this weekend. You know, I was in the road taking pictures, and just what happened, a woman comes up. Hey, you know, I tell my son about your music, and I think we're just doing this dope because his friend just died in his arms Saturday. You know, so it's that visceral. You know, my nephew lives here, my cousins, my whole family lives here. You know, and there's nothing for them to a bullet to fly through the wall, a conversation at the barbershop to get out of hand. You know, him visiting his girlfriend in the wrong time, wrong part of town. You know, in the right part of town, my part of town. This is my neighborhood. I live here. That's my girlfriend, and that's her house. And I didn't know I was gonna die in front of it. But there was reason for me to be killed in front of it on the way there. You know, so. You know, it's a very dangerous time. It's a very sad time, very heartbreaking kind of time, you know, for the city. crisis that the city holds as its most championed things, the things that made Chicago great. You know, this is taking place right around the corner from the United Center. You know, the place where, you know, we go, they take people travel from around the world. You know, literally from around the world. All of my friends who came in Chicago, where you want to go? I want to go get Italian beef. I want to go get a pizza from Giordano's, and I want to go take a picture in front of the Michael Jordan statue. Oh, okay, cool. Did you know that right around the corner from a Michael Jordan statue that there's a gang war going on? 16-year-old got killed, and 13-year-old got killed, and such and such got killed, you know. So it's not something that is taking place away from this, you know. In the, you know, there's no white flight from this. You can't run from this, white people, you know, because it's taking place in the same neighborhoods that you hold dear. You know, around the same monuments and the same things that you love this city for. And it's terrible, you know, terrible to see, you know, the city still operate like everything's normal. You know, there's no outcry, you know, as a whole, you know. And that kind of frightens me. You know, it's as if we're so... The same way that we don't get agitated and, you know, up in arms about something that occurs in Afghanistan or something that occurs in Iraq because it's happening over there and justified it's 10,000 miles away. But we're doing the same thing here when it's blocks away. It's right there. Same murder rates in some capacity. You know. So it's very...
Where does hip-hop fit into this? Is it a helpful reflection of things? Is it an irritant? Is it a cause? Where does it fit in?
But now I think everybody knows that it's a cause.
You think it's a cause?
It's undisputed. Undisputed. Now there's no hiding behind that now. Now we know. It's been fact. Right? It's also a nuance. You know, it's also kind of just, you know, creates the environment, maybe. It is still a reflection. It's life imitating art. It's art imitating life. It's both. It's both ways. It's always been both ways with any art. It's always been like that, you know. There are certain movies that come out and people say, I want a gun just like that. You know, this new movie just came out with the police, right? They were fighting the cartel or whatever it is. Watch and Watch. Right. The guns that they had in the movie were the guns that cartels used. To make that movie, you had to go and find someone who knew what the guns that the cartel chopper and all of these dudes carry, gold-plated, you know, diamond-encrusted guns. Then you put it in the movie. Art imitating life. Right? So, yeah, hip-hop definitely has a lot to do with it.
But do you really think the life imitates the art as well? You think,
well, definitely.
You think what, kids are listening to some of the violent things in hip hop and feeling justified about it, or learning about things, and, you know, who to talk to, where to go about it?
Yeah, it's not a, you would be lying at this point to say no. You would be lying to justify. And I'm not talking about hip hop as a whole. I'm talking about negative hip hop. Because even in positive hip-hop, it's the same thing, because you have kids who imitate Lupe Fiasco, you know, who want to be upstanding citizens and read books and do other things and go to school and blah, blah, blah. So why would you think that it wouldn't be the same to somebody who listens to their favorite gangster rapper? That they want the same gun that he had, they want the same car that he had, they want to have the same hairstyle that he had, they want to have the same chain, the same watch. Where do you think they get it from? How do kids in the ghetto know about Rolexes? When did that become a point of achievement? You know, when did the Mercedes-Benz become a point of achievement, right? For the young yellow kid this day. Who's talking about that? It definitely ain't Superfly, right? But then it was made in the 70s. And he wasn't even driving a Benz, he was driving a Lincoln. Right? Right? It definitely wasn't Scarface, because he was in Miami, and he had a Porsche. Right? So where did it come from? How do you know about an Audemars, young man? Ask kids in the ghetto, what did they learn about an Audemars? Because I guarantee you it wasn't from the Audemars-sponsored yacht race. right? I guarantee you it wasn't from the Rolex Series Daytona prototype races that they learned about the Daytona. You know, I guarantee you it's from a rap song. Guaranteed. From their favorite rapper, right? So that's just watches. That's just watches, chains, cars, you know, the commercial, you know, the things that you see. What about cocaine? You know what I'm saying? About Mac 10, about AK-47. What did you learn about AK-47? Was it Vietnam? Oh, you couldn't be Vietnam because you weren't even alive. What did you learn about that from? The Army. You know what I'm saying? So, the hip-hop can be an instruction manual for the destruction of the community. It can also be an instruction manual for the betterment of the community. I think that's just the balance. But right now, I think there's an imbalance more toward the negativity, having more of a clutch and more of a respect from the youth because their environments reflect the same environments that the rappers talk about because the rappers who talk about it came from the same fucking environment. So it's just a feedback loop. They're talking to themselves about things that they all experience. You know, we love Jay-Z. When you read Jay-Z's bio, what does it say? In the Fortune 500. What does it say? You wanna know what it says? Ex-crack dealer from Brooklyn. Grows up to become part owner of the Brooklyn Nets. Fortune 500 such and such. Most powerful couple in the world. Right? But what do you say at the top? People don't like to look at that. You know what I'm saying?
That's why you hate the Nets.
No, let's not get into that. But to be real, real about it, I still think that that's just one piece. And what you're seeing is the product of 60 years of a very terrible process that took place in this country that started with welfare. It actually started with racism, but that's too far back.
Yeah.
But specifically, you want to trace these issues back to what's going on right now, the wildness, the raw and utter heartlessness of the youth these days. You should start with Robert Taylor projects, right? You start with, if you want to live here, your father can't be here. You destroy the family unit. So you have a bunch of young boys who don't know anything about a family, so what are they trying to do? Just like any other young boy, whether he was white or Jamaican or Chinese, he's going to want to start his own family. So him and a bunch of other boys start their own family. Guess what the name of that family is? The Black Peacestone Rangers. Right? A community organization. What is the name of your family? Oh, we're the Conservative Vice Lords. And this is our clubhouse. And we're here protecting our community. Why you got to protect your community? Because, you know, these white people keep coming, these Ku Klux Klansmen keep coming from Cicero, busting our windows and driving down the street like it's cool, so I'm going to protect my mama. Right? But what does it become now? What the Vice Lords graduate into? One of the biggest drug operating syndicates in the world, financed by whom? Right? What did the mafia say in Godfather? What they said? The dope stays with the niggas. So you couple that with a war on drugs and then the mentality of the criminal syndicates around the world who says that the dope stays with the niggas. What did the British say? Where does the opium go? The opium stays with the yellow niggas, with the Chinese. They're not selling that shit in Britain, right? So now you come back to America, they have a war on drugs against dope, all the dope is in the hood. There's no fathers there. You have these organizations that stem from them not having fathers. Those kids who were able to even have kids, right? Those boys who grew up, they had kids. They don't know how to be fathers, so they didn't have fathers. But then here's the double dose. They only have time to do that because they have to go to prison now. Right? Or they have to die now. Right? So you got people who grew up and had the opportunity to, you know, okay, now we get to reboot this and start this family structure because now I have a son and he has a son. But now I got to go through 30 years because I got found with, you know, a gram of crack cocaine. So now I got to go through 30 years in prison. So now I can't raise my son. So that son... That guy, right? That little guy who's 14, 2012, October 1st, 2012, he just turned 14. Father's been in jail for 30 years, right? that's the guy who's going to kill somebody tonight. And what did he tell him? He never had a past. He's never been imbued with any type of future. You go to where he lives, it looks like a fucking war zone. Right? You can't even tell him, yeah, you should eat good. You want to eat good from the gas station? You want to get these fruits and vegetables and shit you niggas keep talking about on the news? You know, and make this. How the fuck am I supposed to make this recipe, you know, that you put in the paper or you put in this magazine? Nigga, I don't even know. I can't even buy carrots in a 30-block radius. I think what we're coming to the realization of, when I say we, I'm talking Father Flavor, who I just talked to 2 days ago. To my homie in the hood, to that mother, right, who Jeff's son's best friend died in his arms Saturday, is there has to be a complete and utter a complete 180 of the environment. And we're going to lose some things. We're going to lose some privileges. We're going to lose some rights. We're going to lose some history. We're going to lose some culture. We're going to lose some heroes. We're going to lose some structure. But that's the only thing that you can do to save that, to stop that. Or let them kill each other until they just annihilate themselves and exterminate themselves from the face of the planet. There's no way you can do that. That means this, what I'm doing, this music thing that I'm doing, has to become, you have to, now the Art Institute has to take rap serious. And it has to become art. Right? The same way that Chaucer is art. The same way Shakespeare is art. The shit that we do is art. It's not scum bucket, bottom of the barrel. Same way you look at blues as art, jazz art, hip hop as art, right? To give these babies and give these kids, who this is their expression as well, a place when they come downtown and they see Donatello and they see Miles Davis, they can see Jay-Z, but in a format that is art, that white people are looking at it like, this is amazing. You see the intricacies of what he did and the metaphorical relationship between such and such and the relevancy of this versus this and this. There's almost a Beowulf indication of somewhere within the same critique and the same status as an artist to take these tales of death and destruction and hope and despair, you know, and turn it into something that can become a career for them just beyond buying a fucking Mercedes or buying a Rolex or buying an Audemars, to compete with the corporate structure, right, which capitalizes on this death. They capitalize on kids killing each other. Would it be the NRA, right, which is financed by corporations, who don't mind them having MAC-10s in their videos? They may go, oh, they don't mind. Because they definitely didn't give a fuck when them guns were going across the border into Mexico. The gun owner said, that's not my problem. Man, ain't me making that up. That's me watching CNN and watching the gun owner on the border of Texas say, well, once this gun leaves my car, that's not really my problem. I got my money, right? So the corporate experience, there has to be a just as visceral, just as powerful cultural experience that comes and battles that. To say, you know what, it's not about buying Coca-Cola today, it's not about buying an Audemars today, it's about just create something beautiful today, or create something ugly today, right, create something ugly, I want to see your anger, create your angriest thing for me, but not for the sake of cultural exploitation, not for the sake of commercial exploitation, for the sake of cultural expression.
Jimmy Lee's Underground Radio Network. What's going on, everybody? 347-838-9825. I see y'all still holding on. I'm going to take y'all calls in 1 minute. So let me go on ahead and head on to this commercial break. That was Loopy Fiasco. Just did the interview a minute ago. My man sent it to me from Chicago Sun-Times. I hope y'all like it. I'm going to deal with that and what he said. Hold on, your question again, 347-838-9825 is the numbers. Jimmy Lee Radio Network is the name of the title. Please hit us up on Facebook at Jimmy Lee's Underground Radio Network and join in. Let's keep it moving, and let's go on and on.
Tired, stressed out, or just need me or we time? Then Phoenix Rising, Baltimore's exclusive bed and breakfast, is the place for you. Phoenix Rising offers an unforgettable, rejuvenating experience with exquisite guest rooms. Find peace and calm in the Sedona Room or Haitian Room, or relax in front of a marble fireplace in the Serengeti Room. Call 410-462-2692 today to schedule your escape to Phoenix Rising. Visit us online at phoenixrising.com.
Jimmy Lee's Underground Radio Network. I thought in the middle of me playing a little Lupe Fiasco, I might have my man who called in last night, Mr. America KKK. At least I thought he was going to chat in, but we still here waiting on you, homie. What's going on, Lady Dana from D.C.? What'd it be like, Lady?
Hey, Jimmy, how are you?
All right, all right. What do you think about that Lupe Fiasco interview that I played earlier that you were listening to?
You know, I think that, you know what, I was already aware of some of the stuff that was going on with Lupe Fiasco. I got to admit, though, I had not heard the entire interview, but I knew that once the other young man was killed in Chicago, then Lupe kind of stood up and decided to retire from rap. And, you know, honestly, I can kind of understand because rap music, just like yesterday when we were talking, about when you associate yourself with a group, sometimes it ruins the whole. Rap music is traditionally known to promote violence. You know, it has all the artists, some of the young men that make it to the top, they do it based on creating these false stereotypes of women and depicting us in negative ways. You know, they promote violence and they glorify killing. And then what happens is these young people that are listening and idolizing these rappers, they tend to pick that up and take it to another level. And so all we're seeing is just a sickness that is being perpetuated throughout the black community. And it is contributing, is causing the demise of so many young African Americans. And it's sad.
Well, you know something, Dana? I feel like this, like Lupe Fiasco said. Right now, you is for the choice but to blame rap music. You know, like he said, and none of that stuff. But the decisions that he put in was very interesting. Like he said, it's the welfare system. 6 years of welfare system has caused the condition that we have right now by eradicating the black man outside the household. And then you want to say that the not in the household because, like he said, listen, if you heard earlier, it was a great breakdown. We're going to go niggify. You know, that's the best niggify Republican version of Republican get off welfare I ever heard. Who your family to Robert tell you, put them on welfare, you tell them that, hey, you can have all these rights if you don't have no man in the household. But you have these babies with no man in the household, and what a little boy going to do? So he feel like he starts smelling himself, want to be a man. He's going to want to go off and make his own family, but he has no idea what to make a family is. He's going to try to do what it takes to survive, make a family, and then, bam, what do you get caught with? 1 gram. 1 gram of crack. Now he's gone for 30 years. Now his son that was born at that time, 14 years old right now, might be the person right now on the street right now that's going to pop somebody. Right now, you can track it all the way down to what you can go to pedigree. You can probably track a pedigree down from every killer in the county in the Shy or every county in every African American community. And you can track it down to that. It's not an educated person. I would have taken nine, popping somebody for no reason at all. It ain't. It's somebody whose hope was probably gone at the age of 7 or 8 when he hit fourth grade. You know what I'm saying? When he hit fourth grade, you know. That was all shot down. You know, I'm going to play that again probably tomorrow if I do the presidential debate or not, or I put it on my page. I'm going to run that in the archives for my listeners to hear about that. I don't know if you're tuning in earlier, but we did a case on affirmative action over there in Texas. Right now, Senator Dade O'Connor said it's okay for you to use race as a defining factor. But then Texas, this white lady is suing because she was not allowed to get in University of Texas based off her race. Now, on the face of that, you're looking at, damn, some black person has stole a white girl's scholarship. But when the University of Texas is 49% white, 18% Hispanic, 14% Asian, and 4% black. Now, why do you think affirmative action is for black folks right now? Affirmative action, 2000 and this century is not.
Give me a smoke and mirrors. That's why. It's smoke and mirrors. It's a pretense. There's this pretense in society anytime you have one African American or when you have a minority going to college. Then there's this pretense that all of a sudden all the slots are being taken by minorities. It's not true. It's not true.
No. They are being taken up by they are being taken up by minority. They're being taken up by Asians, which is a minority, and Hispanics, which are a minority, and transgender, which are a minority. And they're being taken up by them, not by blacks. I'm saying it again, not by blacks.
Now, by
the
spirit
of African slaves,
they're
not being taken by those people.
If you look at the groups that are being subdivided into minorities, you just named 4 different ones yourself. The school is still 50% Caucasian. So anytime you have anytime you have 50% of people and then you subdivide them into five different groups, guess what? There's still a disparity in the numbers. If you want to make it even, then you'll have one-fifth, 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 or one-fourth, or whatever, that ends up giving you an equal number. Don't say that just because you have this you clump 10 different groups into a 50 percentile and then try to give the, and try to make it seem like, oh, yeah, they're taking all the spots. The data is skewed. And so the statistics are skewed. And therefore the information is skewed.
Well, yeah, I agree. I agree with that. But let me, what I'm trying to do right now is, I'm trying to pull up that, they broke the numbers down right there. And I think that's clip 67.
Yeah, hold on. Let me.
Oh, check it out, Dana. Check it out.
White, about 18.5% Hispanic, 15% Asian, 50%. In writing on this decision, Wyatt, as you mentioned, enrollment at the University of Texas is nearly 50% white, about 18.5% Hispanic, 15% Asian, and 4.5% black. Anna Werner found that on the campus of
Now, I'm just going off the numbers right there. Now, minorities are taking those slots because they're listening to minorities. I'm saying this, Dana. No, listen, blacks should be excluded from the roles of the minority. It's just a straight up be, I don't care how stigmatized or how you want to look at it, it's just straight be black. Straight black. Put the name, put what it is. Because let me tell you something. These voters, laws, rights that everybody's trying to get the voter protection under, they were only meant for African-Americans, descendants of African-American slaves who could not have the right to vote. All the minority laws was put upon African-Americans because of the wrong that the country has done. Asians or Hispanics have not received any wrongs. It was unfair for them to be listed upon this roll. Wait, dollars to repair damage, lightweight reparations to repair damage of what has been done. You know what I'm saying? And that is a way, you know something? An easy way to get rid, easy way to get African American reparations is to knock all motherfuckers off the minority rolls. Right there. And then you will easily repair the damage, and within two decades, be equality, and then you can have an equal balance. But, Dana, I'm 5 more minutes on this. I want to bring this law up for a second. You got any more comments you want to add to this, lady, before I go to a commercial break?
It's just that, see, the data is fusion. Anytime you take a 50%, okay, let's pretend like we have a case, right? And I tell you that this society that we live in is supposed to be equal and it's supposed to afford the same opportunity for all, okay? But then I say to you, Jimmy, I'm going to take 50% of the cake. And then you take the other half of the cake because that makes it equal. And then you have to give some to your neighbors. You got to give some to the people down the street. You got to give some to the people across the street. And you got to give some to the people around the corner.
But now, I'm I'll say this. Tell them to go home and get some cake from their grandmama. Because let me tell you something. I'm not trying to be xenophobic. Not xenophobic.
They
it's a bigot.
An Asian person can go home
and see their grandmother. A Hispanic person can go to another country and see their grandmother. They can leave the country. They can leave this country and go to another country and find their cousins, grandma, uncles, and daddy.
The only place a black person can go down
and find a so-called daddy or uncle or grandma might be the South. But I don't want to spend all day on that. I just want to throw that out there. I got a new topic I want to roll into. Let me give a little braille. I'm going to bring up Ebony. Hold tight, Dana, 347-838-9825. Where you at, American KKK? Call in.
Braille. A little something for the people. Braille. Thank you all.
I'm gonna go and dance around the town.
and talk about the victim last night that got popped, and who the best on the block with the crack rock. Play a lot of pocket banging till the track stop. It's in our nature to run into this jackpot. Hoping not to scrape the flow for that rah-rah, but you envision that trip, this isn't my ties. The anticipation turns to aggravation. So when words of wisdom spoke, you hear blah blah. Cause if that wise guy turns to a wise guy, I pray to God that that guy ain't on a high rise. And if he is, I hope the earth he got nine lives. See, this is the type of life I seen with my eyes. Ghost boys whipping in the ghost fire on the 9 to 5, but no bow ties. Cause when Jay's on the street, you're solo, no lie. All black attire, shooting with a bow tie.
Time comes when silence is betrayal. Even when pressed by the demands of inner truth, men do not easily assume the task of opposing their government's policy, especially in time of war.
And watch a nigga kill another nigga. So one dead, one in jail, so soon there'll be no niggas. They scamming for the dough, nigga. I can't trust them, I don't know them. Them yo niggas, I need the source, they either leave or buy. Cause these niggas don't care if I breathe or die. So put your pride aside and let your wings fly. Don't be a middleman, be the man who supply. The definition of a boss, let it multiply. And if they oppose that, they all can die. Cause if they move fast, that's when them cautions fly. So I'd rather be alive than a homicide. Feel my spirit, see my girl and my mama cry. And all my niggas pouring liquor for the honor. I vow to be the realest without ever saying it. So serious, I ain't kidding, nigga, who you playing with?
Where are ranked on this earth to be a man, to be a human being, to be respected as a human being, to be given the rights of a human being in this society, on this earth, in this day, which we intend to bring into existence by any means necessary.
By any means necessary.
Fucking the same chick your man had last week. Now he's emotional, so now you got beef. Instead of him checking out who the hoe be, next thing you know, he let go free. To the chest. Now we gotta lay another brother down to rest. That wall getting full, cause y'all full of the bull. No more knuckle up, cause all they do now is cool. 15 years old, not even in school. But he know mathematics better than you. A community that knows everything about you. But when it goes down, they don't know what to do. What type of sense is that? No clue. So instead of waiting for them, you make the first move. Instead of talk about the victim last night that got popped, or who the best on the block with the crack rock.
If there is anyone out there who still doubts that America is a place where all things are possible, who still wonders if the dream of our founders is alive in our time, still question the power of our democracy, tonight is your answer.
Hold on, Dan. I got a commercial break, and we're going to deal with the new pot laws in Chicago. But we get an article by Mick Dumick from the Chicago Reader, and he's talking about the new pot laws hasn't ended the grass gap yet. And it's very interesting, and I want y'all to check that out. So we're going to do a commercial break. And then, Ebony, I got a theme song. I'm going to play about 2 minutes before you bring that in. So we do a commercial. Then let me get the board, and I'll run the music, and then follow my theme flow, all right? All right, hold on, callers.
Got your black coffee at the Jazz Cafe. Got your mocha at the Jazz Cafe. Got your latte at the Jazz Cafe. At the Jazz Cafe. At the Jazz Cafe. Got your black coffee at the Jazz Cafe. Got your mocha at the Jazz Cafe. Got your latte at the Jazz Cafe. At the Jazz Cafe. At the Jazz Cafe. The Jazz Cafe is one of the main distributors of the Organo Gold Coffee. It gives natural energy delivered right to your doorstep.
If you want to order your coffee today, contact Shauna at 601-918-2079 or go to 601jazzcafe.organogold.com. Got your black coffee at the Jazz Cafe, got your mocha at the Jazz Cafe, got your latte at the Jazz Cafe, at the Jazz Cafe, at the Jazz Cafe, got your black coffee at the Jazz Cafe, got your mocha at the Jazz Cafe, got your latte at the Jazz Cafe, at the Jazz Cafe, at the Jazz Cafe.
Vowed that they were going soft. They weren't going soft.
They claimed the reverse was true. The ticketing policy would actually be so efficient that it would help police hold more potheads accountable, as City Council Dean Ed Burke put it. It's not decriminalization, it's recriminalization. But to the rank-and-file cops, it's simply an annoyance. On July 25th, Police Brass issued a 7-page set of procedures governing the new Alternative Cannabis Enforcement Program, or ACEP. The rules covered everything from writing up violation notices to testing the suspected pot with portable kits to writing up reports on the testing. There was also a long, detailed list of instances in which the ticketing policy doesn't apply, such as when the offenders are kids, don't have identification, or are nabbed on park or school grounds. At the same time, the procedures state that when police officers want to make an arrest, they have to justify it. If the officer is taken into custody for possession of up to 15 grams of cannabis, oh, no, man, they got typos in here. If the offender, quotes, is taken into custody for possession of up to 15 grams of cannabis, the arresting officer will be prompt and required to indicate the aggravating factors on the arrest report. That left lots of police wondering, why bother? The instructions are insanely long, said the veteran. I just think it's a lot of work for what we're getting. Add another veteran cop, it's a pain in the ass, and guys don't like it, and it's easy to just lock people up. The numbers suggest that at first some officers tried the ticketing process. In the first week of the new policy, 27 tickets were issued citywide. By week 6, though, the number had fallen to 8. Meanwhile, the arrests kept coming in the usual places, lots of arrests. The 3rd District on the south side and the 11th and the 15th on the west side have each averaged more than 2 arrests for misdemeanor possession a day. In fact, while total marijuana-related busts are down citywide this year, they're actually edged up on the west side and in parts of the south side and in Rogers Park up north. The grass gap remains. The second veteran cop said that because most of the guys picked up on the south and west sides aren't carrying ID and are likely involved in dealings or gangs, on the other hand, if a person has an ID, guys are just saying, fuck it. So that's the upside, not including the tickets. 695 fewer people have been pulled into the criminal court system on marijuana charges than at this point in 2011. Conservatively, the slowdown has saved at least $2 million and 2,100 police hours so far. It just hasn't affected everyone the same way, leaving us with an evolving but multi-layered set of rules. Just drop the whole law, said the first veteran officer, and he's not just talking about the city ordinance. He means the whole set of federal and state law prohibiting marijuana. What's currently on the book says is just a halfway point. If the effort is to get rid of the law, just do it. And for an update, if you want to see the raw data, you can go on to the ChicagoReader.com, and on the article they have a link that takes you straight to the data where you can see the raw numbers, what districts. That's what it says. Some readers have asked to see the raw data, so by clicking here, those who dive in will note the additional to the increase in pot busts in the places I flagged or they just mentioned in the article. There appears to be a significant jump in the Lakeview area. That would suggest not just African Americans on the south and west side who've been busted. However, those figures come out of 2 police districts that recently merged that made the Lakeview area. So I'm not sure how solid they are. We'll keep a close watch on as the year goes by, is what the author says.
What third one did you get?
I think that's
Wentworth. 2.
Yeah, Wentworth.
130 arrests, man, and just 20 tickets. Where we at? Gresham? Let me see. No, Third Ward got the highest so far on the south side. Well, check that out. No, not Morgan Park neither. Well, I'm looking at the list now for everybody who wants to know. Let's see, Grand Crossing. No, my fault. Grand Crossing. 130. That's over there where Little JoJo and them at. Calumet, Grisham. But check it out. It's funny. They got the highest ticket amount, too. They got 20 tickets. You know, out of 150, they got only 20 tickets. But, you know, nobody, they only got 2 tickets in Wentworth, no ticket in Central. That's downtown. You got 14 rests downtown. Man, people just be on pot thus. Man, people just being, I guess they just don't care, man. It's whatever. They just don't care. Let me bring my call in for a second. Okay, Dana. What do you think about that? What do you think about that right there?
You know what? Honestly, I'm glad that the law has changed. You know, and I'm not promoting the usage of drugs, but I'm glad the law has changed because there has always been a disparity. I mean, there is a huge disparity in the number of African American arrests, period. And so maybe this can keep some of our brothers out of jail. You know, so I'm glad that the law changed. Anytime you go to jail 3 times as long for a small amount of marijuana as you will for cocaine, that's a problem.
Right, I agree with it. But what they were saying was when the law came out, they were saying instead of arresting all the court hours all that time, just give them a ticket. But in the black areas, they were still getting arrested. It make no difference.
Right, and so that just goes to show you that even when laws have changed to keep us out of jail, they still gonna put us in jail.
Right. I wonder what my man America KKK think about that. Where you at, man? Okay, I would take another commercial.
You know, I think he calls in. Honestly, I think he calls in to spew his messages of despair. And I almost want to say that he was the same guy that called in that was saying, making all those racist statements.
No, I don't know. I want to see what his point was. You know, it was really good conversation, and I got a lot of response back. Even I think a caller was willing to tune in if he was on. You know, he was good for my ratings. But let me take this commercial break. Hey, America KKK, come on, my brother. Come on, my brother. Call back in.
In this, her first romance novel, State of Ecstasy, Jew Ephraim finds passion on the lush island of Martinique. Reminiscent of the works of Klipas and Lawrence, Jew Ephraim's rich emotional landscape delivers an achingly accessible complexity that makes State of Ecstasy steamy, provocative, and fresh, and its author a forceful new voice who brings an entirely new level of heat to romance. With her soon-to-be-released paranormal novel, Ephraim is giving us a brand new insight into this genre. Find her books on Amazon, iTunes, and wherever books are sold.
Tired, stressed out, or just need me or we time? Then Phoenix Rising, Baltimore's exclusive bed and breakfast, is the place for you. Phoenix Rising offers an unforgettable, rejuvenating experience with exquisite guest rooms. Find peace and calm in the Sedona Room or Haitian Room, or relax in front of a marble fireplace in the Serengeti Room. Call 410-462-2692 today to schedule your escape to Phoenix Rising. Visit us online at phoenixrising.com.
Governor Romney had a good night. I had a bad night. It's not bad. Well, it's not the first time I've had a bad night. But I think what's important is that the fundamentals of what this race is about haven't changed. You know, Governor Romney went to a lot of trouble to try to hide what his positions are.
So I'm not going to get an explanation of what you think happened, of why you had that night.
You know, one thing, you know, maybe this is because I played a lot of sports when I was a kid and still do. If you have a bad game, you just move on. You look forward to the next one, and it makes you that much more determined. The difference between this and sports is that the stakes are so high.
Another issue in the news, abortion, legal abortion in this country. Governor Romney is now saying there is no abortion legislation that is part of his agenda. Your campaign has called that a lie.
Well, look, Diane, this is another example of Governor Romney hiding positions he's been campaigning on for a year and a half.
Is it a lie?
No, I actually think his position on when it comes to women's rights, to control their own health care decisions. You know, what he has been saying is exactly what he believes. He thinks that it is appropriate for politicians to inject themselves in those decisions. I mean, Governor Romney has made very clear that if a bill comes to his desk that overturns Roe v. Wade, that he will be fully supportive of that. And he said, I will appoint justices that will overturn Roe v. Wade.
President Obama on Diane Sawyer earlier today. What do you think about that? Your president's getting ready for the debate, already lining things up. Fire. What do you think about that little... By the way, did you see him on Diane Sawyer today?
No, no, I didn't see him on Diane Sawyer, but I'm glad he's getting ready for the debate. He needs to. I mean, gosh, if you look at... Okay, I'll give you an example. Today I listened to some of the commercials that and some of the speeches and some of the things that the other candidate has been making, the statements he's been making. And let me tell you something. Anytime you make all these negative comments towards countries that don't like us, guess what?
What?
It's kind of like you're trying to incite violence. And so he, and again, this to me is a problem because you've got to be very careful with what you say when you're talking about countries and people that don't like us anyway, right? All they're looking for is a reason. And you're giving it to them when you start talking about what you would do and how you would do and how you're going to come hard at them. And then you say it to more than one of them, that is a problem. That's a huge problem. So, so again, I've just been listening to some of the things that's going on, and it's just very interesting. But, yeah, they need to gear up for the debate because we need to bring it.
Do you all think the president brought it at the last debate? See, I wanted to have people call in and tell me what they think now after the debate is over, not the debate that was with not the Ryan debate coming up, but the last week's debate, because I had a week to look it over, and then I was in Ohio, and everybody was really upset at Obama, like he gave it, he gave in. It was as if I'm watching two different fights. To me, now it's all said and done, the smoke is cleared. To me, Obama won. Everybody's like, yeah, how did he win? Because, okay, Dana, you're a big girl. You're a tall girl. Back in the day before you became a Navy girl, you was buck wild. You should roll through the halls of your high park, your school, probably bullying people, right? Now,
I would never be a bully.
Okay, then, quite sure you saw ladies fight back in the day. I'm gonna say what the fight was, how Romney came out fight. Do you remember how we was little and when girls fought, before girls went fist, the girl right now fight, they fist now. They go knuckle up like they men. But do you remember how girls get their arms are wailing and their feet are cocking out? They women up like, come like women style. See, the reason why the girls go women style is one, they ain't trying to get their face and all that stuff all hit, and they hoping a couple of jabs get in. And they block everything else. They're not really sizing everything up. They're just coming all wild. Last week when the debate happened, we talked about what the debate symbolized, and we said a boxing match. Now, if I look at Romney, he threw a lot of punches, but he landed very few. The ones that he landed were the ones that we're talking about. Obama threw very few punches, but landed more punches than Romney. I'm saying if you look at the punch ratio, he would have won because, yeah, Romney threw a lot, but he didn't land that many. Well, Obama, bam, bam, what's your plan? But you said this, what's your plan? There you go again. Bam. Now I'm saying those are steady like jabs. Plan, bam, and jab. Plan. So now we're going to go to round two. Round two again, Romney can do the dancing again, dancing around. All Obama got hit the man again with is, what's your plan? Bam. What's your plan? Bam. By the time the third round come around, he either A, got to defend his plan, or B, just the jab going to take him down, because everybody would, by that time, realize, man, this man ain't mentioned his plan yet. And then Obama can launch a campaign, and I want some money, y'all, steal it from me. Obama can launch a campaign, but to the yes, he can, it can be, what's your plan? What's your plan? And then come on and say, it's just rope-a-dope-ish, man, you know.
But I can honestly say, you know, everyone was saying how he wasn't, you know, he didn't debate as well as he usually does. Can you imagine this, Jimmy? If I tell you, if I go around and I say, hey, I only like pink. I only like chicken. I only like orange pop, right?
Yeah.
And then you say, hey, that's not right. You shouldn't only like those things. Dana, have some variety, right? Now we're in front of the camera. We're in front of the 50 million people who are viewing the debate. And then the first thing I come out hollering is, I like variety. How do you debate with that? How do you debate with a lie? How do you debate with somebody that is promoting all the things that you have promoted this entire time? What do you say? No, that's wrong? No, you shouldn't do that? What do you
say?
See,
that's what I mean.
See,
that's see, Dana, now. See, now you're saying what I'm saying is what the effect of the Obama jabs, because one jab gonna miss man line. What's in your plan? Well, you know, everybody was so busy watching Obama because it's so captivating in his oratorically speaking ways, and like, oh, you're gonna watch this guy. Oh man, I can't wait. But no, you want the race to go on. You want the battle to continue. You
well,
know,
and
bam,
not just that, but how do you fight against somebody that's promoting your policies? He should have looked at him and said, hey, that's a great idea. That was mine.
But he can't.
Said, yeah, you're right. That's what I said, dude.
He can't. He can't do it. And that's why I'm saying, by Obama, oh, yeah, this is wrong. Then what's your plan? What's your plan? I'm doing that now. What's your plan? That's why I'm saying it all depends on how many punches landed. And Obama was just throwing jabs while Obama was just throwing wild haymakers, hoping something lands. Oh, yeah, what about Kendra? Oh, yeah, you pick losers. When you're playing an airplane and your private jet ain't there, you know, stuff like that. You know,
I mean, he was even promoting, like,
I love
like
my country.
Abortion.
Right. I'm just saying, my plan, you were saying this stuff, oh, yeah? Take your plan. Let everybody know your plan. You can get my plan on the online. No, tell your plan right now. Tell your plan right now. And that's what was difficult for him to tell his plan right now. I'm at the 9:40 break. Every 10 minutes, that's every 20 minutes, I got to say. 347-838-9825, Jimmy Lee's Underground Radio Network. Let me kick it to a commercial break, and then we're going to finish talking about maybe wrapping up that what the Lupe Fiasco said. I want to end it up. We're having this go with what Lupe Fiasco said, and let's probably talk about that affirmative action cause and just wrap up that little pot spot. Let's go ahead and get a little commercial break. One.
Are you the parent of a troubled teen, or you just want to have a closer relationship with your child? If so, sign up for our free webinar called 5 Easy Tips to Effective Communication with Your Teen right now, hosted by teen expert Release Henry. Log on to successfulteenparenting.com/webinar.
Walking down the street now is a dangerous thing. There are drug dealers, crack houses, gang members, and crackheads. People fighting, cursing, and killing too. So much chaos, we don't know what to do. But if people only knew that they are hurting little children, if they could only see what our community could be. When in consultation, 1, stay calm. 2, try to say something positive. 3, tell the person what's on your mind. 4, ask if the person understands. 5, thank the person for listening if you can. Come on, y'all. Let's be an example. It has to start somewhere. How about now? For more information on ways to prevent violent crimes, contact Totally Positive Productions at 773 888-488-9553.
Tired, stressed out, or just need me or we time? Then Phoenix Rising, Baltimore's exclusive bed and breakfast, is the place for you. Phoenix Rising offers an unforgettable, rejuvenating experience with exquisite guest rooms. Find peace and calm in the Sedona Room or Haitian Room, or relax in front of a marble fireplace in the Serengeti Room. Call 410-462-2692 today to schedule your escape to Phoenix Rising. Visit us online at phoenixrising.com.
Does your insurance company work for you? Hi, this is Ken Robinson, President and CEO of Ken Robinson & Associates Limited. We are an insurance brokerage firm located at 5963 West Madison Street, Chicago, Illinois. Our phone number is 773-626-0883. We make the insurance experience easier by shopping for you, saving you time and money. Our agency features the best insurance products, giving you the most competitive prices. We insure needs for less, featuring life, health, annuities, homeowners, auto, SR22, bond cards, business owners policies, general contractors liability, and vacant buildings. Now, we also offer coverages most major insurance companies no longer offer. Please call for a free quote at 773-626-0883.
Attention business owners, radio show producers, and internet radio producers. It's time to crank it up for 2012 with quality radio production. Are you a record label needing hot album promos or EPKs for your new artist? Introducing CoolVoiceRadio.com. Does your internet show need a new intro or outro? How about a promo for your upcoming event? Are you a DJ needing a hot voice for your next hot mixtape? Imagine increased sales in your business from an internet radio spot. We've got you covered with broadcast quality radio spot production with the nation's top voiceover talent, featuring talent like John Heath, Kate Clifford, Bill Thomas, and much, much more. Visit us online at www.coolvoiceradio.com. CoolVoiceRadio.com or call 646-326-7800. Remember, nothing beats the right sound.
Forgive me, for I am a sinner. Please. I'm battling with my flesh and that one we know as the tempter. I am not a quitter, but sometimes I do wrong. And when I do wrong, it's hard for me to move on without feeling guilt, without feeling shame. I can't point the finger, I am the one to blame. I can't really explain, all I can say is I did it. But I'm before you now with the heart that's repentant. Got myself tangled up, now my spirit strangled up. I know what I'm in for, chasing this spot to come. I am not a bastard, I am one of your sons. Have mercy on me and deal with me in love. Cause at that moment, God, I just got weak. So I'm making a petition to please have mercy on me. I made a choice and I know it was wrong. You about to slay me, but I'm saying hold on. And have mercy on me. Cause at that moment, God, I just got weak. So I'm making a petition to please have mercy on me. I made a choice and I know it was wrong. You about to slay me, but I'm saying hold on. And have mercy on me. There's so many things that's tempting in this world to me. When I don't have a thing, Satan shows the world to me. Sometimes I feel trapped,
like what?
Like I ain't free. As the cross of Jesus Christ allows me to be. It has to do with bad choices and decisions made. I tear myself down, but God, you always renovate. I'm at the throne of grace, cause I need help now. I'm laying on my face, cause I need help now. I did put up a good fight for a long while, till I finally reached the point of throwing the towel. And I finally broke down and gave in to that violation we all know is sin. Cause at that moment, God, I just got weak. So I'm making a petition to please have mercy on me. I made a choice and I know it was wrong. You about to slay me, but I'm saying hold on. And have mercy on me. Cause at that moment, God, I just got weak. So I'm making a petition to please have mercy on me. I made a choice and I know it was wrong. You about to slay me, but I'm saying hold on. And have mercy on me. It's a certain standard that I should live to each day. But through my failures and my mistakes, wisdom was gained. When you know better, many stripes is coming. Instead of provoking God's wrath, you should seek his loving. Don't beat yourself up, but pick yourself up. Get back in the race and then start to run. Watch your step and try to make the best move. And before you choose, ask, what would Jesus do? Yeah, we all sin. Yeah, we fall short.
We do.
But that shouldn't be a crutch for our support. Keep trying to please God, even if you fail. Keep trying to please God and try not to fail. Cause at that moment, God, I just got weak. So I'm making a petition to please have mercy on me. I made a choice and I know it was wrong. You about to spank me, but I'm saying hold on and have mercy on me. Cause at that moment, God, I just got weak. So I'm making a petition to please have mercy on me. I made a choice and I know it was wrong. You about to spank me, but I'm saying hold on and have mercy on me.
I lost you 708. You can call back in. I got about like 11 minutes left. They're going to bring you back in, Dana. Now, what were you saying now, Dana? I was hoping my man, I thought that was my America calling in on 708, but that wasn't him. They hung up at that time. But anyway, hello?
Yes.
I thought that was my first call. But anyway, Ebony, I'm flying blind. Ebony got me in the studio. She got the another spot. So anyway, what do you think of it? Let me go ahead and wrap it up. Now, I think Obama did well on the debate. That's good. Now, I want to wrap about what do you think about affirmative action here in America? And that clip about the 18% Hispanics, 14% Asians, and 4% blacks, what do you think about that?
You know, I'm going to tell you something. One time when I was out of the country, this guy who happened to be the Simeo, right? Okay, well, let me back up. This young lady said something to me. She said that she came and approached me because someone had made a comment to her that she didn't appreciate, right? And the comment was something like this. She asked that person about their profession, and they told her, yeah, if you go and you apply for it, you'll get it because you're African-American. And because of affirmative action, someone like me, a young white male, I'll be skipped over. So this young lady did not appreciate that comment, and so she came to me, and so I took it to the Simeo person. And I said, hey, this is what the person said, and you know, the person who told me, they didn't appreciate it. And he said to me, I will never forget this, he said that it's a very polarizing subject. He said that because of affirmative action, some young white males feel that they don't have a chance. And they won't be, and I'm paraphrasing this part of it, they won't be selected for certain things. They won't get certain jobs. They can't go to certain schools.
But dig it, Dana, but dig it. Okay, but let's
go. It's false.
But it's a farce, Dana. A farce because the numbers show right there, the more Hispanics and Asians are getting over on the minority contracts in African Americans. That's a farce. Let me move on to this next spot. What did my man Lupe Fiasco say views on life in the city of Chicago?
But see, I have to say this, Jimmy. I have to say
now, we're Americans.
And so you know what? They deserve the same rights that are afforded to all of us. But the problem
Dana, you act as if they're not getting those rights. They're getting them.
Well,
we're not getting ours.
Saying,
Dana, hold on, Dana. They need to get every right that all America has to offer. We ain't got to get ours. Ain't no problem. We can wait. We can wait around. We can wait. We can wait them out. Ain't no problem.
Yeah, no, but see, that's because
oh, like I said, listen. Somebody white, look at Dana. When somebody see Dana now, because I'm past Lupe now. Come in the show in a minute since you want to talk about Lupe now. Since Dana, I'm going here. If the show said 18% Hispanic. Now, when someone says minority or affirmative action, they don't think Hispanics, Dana, do they? Do they, Dana?
They don't. No, they
okay,
don't.
Dana. Do they think Asian, Dana? Do they think
right,
Asian,
they
Dana?
Don't.
Do they think, right. So if you want to say they need to get all their rights, they are getting their rights, Dana. They are, aren't they?
Well, no. The reason why they
under affirmative action, aren't they getting all the rights of this country? For the blood, what
that
we done,
it's because
right?
Sometimes it's because this country has been unfair to us. But it doesn't mean that they should be unfair to others.
Our country isn't, Dana. We have not been unfair to Asians or Hispanics.
We
have not been unfair to Asians or Hispanics, Dana. Put it like this, Dana. Asians or Hispanics will not have no poll tax on them. Asian Hispanics will not hung. Asian Hispanics was not, Dana. Asian Hispanics didn't build this country. I'll take it back. Asians didn't build a railroad. I'll take it back. Asians might have a little beef here. Asians might have a little stake in the road because they was getting popped left and right. But they did get it right. Every day and point, they did get the reparations, though. But all I'm saying is this, Dana. I'm going to end it right
the
there.
Dana,
like I said earlier. Dana, in order to get this,
I can't say be unfair to one and then expect fairness to me. No. It's got to be fair.
Hey, Dana. Let's respect fairness for all. So let's get rid of it. We need none of that at all. There's no such thing as just get rid of it all, Dana. That's how it'd be fair. We don't need it all.
We need it because we
No, we don't. Dana's not fair. Dana, then you have racist people saying it's not fair, Dana. That's an oxymoron. If fairness for all, then it means it has to go away. There should not be no mechanism at all, Dana.
It would never work if it was fair, but because the system is not fair.
Dana. No, because we live in your world. We live in your world, Dana.
No.
I'm living the world of my whole thing this year now is live the world of my crazy callers, and I'm a sister of all. I'm a choose of my crazy callers. I'm not judging none of my crazy callers no more. You know, I got one caller say, hey. Ain't shit we can do. And I got another caller like say, hey, Hispanics need the same rights as us because we was hung, and so we need to get my rights so they won't get hung neither. I'm not tripping on that. All I want to do is say this, Dana. I got New Music Thursday coming up, and I don't know if I'm going to do New Music Thursday or do the debates. So I might do half and half. It all depends on how much Joe Biden makes me grow. Hey, Anthony, why don't you tell me I got my America KKK in the chat room. Listen, I wish you to tune in earlier. It's 8 Central, my man. I miss you. I wish you to call in sooner, but I got to fade you out. Now, Dana, can I get a goodbye without no race baiting shit?
My message remains the same, brother. It's always going to be fair and equality for all. We can't expect that we are going to be treated equitably if we don't promote equality. We can't expect...
And so, hey, Dana, see, I got to cut you short again. So you're saying that we can't cash our checks until everybody gets the money first.
That's not what
saying.
I'm saying. What I'm saying is when people try to withhold checks, that's when it's a problem.
But Dana, you got a check. You got a check that's been cashed that says insignificant funds. That said Martin Luther King. Listen, this is Jimmy's Underground Radio. I like to say good night, everybody. May your God be with you.
Good night, Jimmy. Good night, Ebony.
never get to check out Jay Shines, From the Sheets to the Street, Occupy Hip Hop, and also Prophet Child Paul. And we also, tomorrow we're going to play that new cut that Jay Shine and Prophet Child Paul and my man from Florida did together. Thank you for tuning in. Again, My America KKK, I see you in the building. Thanks for tuning in. Also, you too, Sean. All right, Corey, y'all take it easy. All right, good night, Dana.
Good night, Jimmy. Good night.
All right.